Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive the engrafted word of the Lord, and may God continue to bless you.
The word of the day is sin destroys life. Sin destroys life. You know, it is very important because the book of John chapter 10, and the verse is 10. Jesus Christ made such a profound statement. The Lord said that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So you can see that there are two people that are mentioned in this scripture. The thief is Satan. The thief is sin. The man of sin. You have to personalize sin because sin is a person. Satan is a person. He's a spirit. And he's personalized everywhere that name is mentioned. Jesus Christ made a statement. He said that you lie and you commit sin and you are like your father, Satan, the devil, who sinned from the very beginning. So he's the father of lies. And all sin comes out of what? Of lies. I have personally stressed out the personality of sin. And I say that sin destroys life. It is very true because it is the only thing that had become a blockage between our fellowship with God and the life that the Lord God has called us to live. Satan has no other purpose for anyone. A man that is a thief, you cannot expect anything good out of a thief. And Jesus said that the characteristic of Satan is that he is a thief and he came just for that, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The destruction that we are talking about here is a form of death. So, but it's the eternal death, to kill and to destroy. You see, Satan does not have the ability to destroy a man's soul in hell. That is God's function. But he has the ability to kill the body. What is it that you want to hear? This is the definition of Satan from the mouth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He created him. And he knows what Satan has done and what he had become. And what he is here for. Just for those three things. A thief to steal. A murderer to kill. A destroyer to destroy. There is no other plan that any man can expect from anything that is of darkness. They give you money, it is for this three purpose. You go and seek for children from their dark kingdom, it is for this three purpose. Every single thing that a man takes from darkness, it is for the purpose of these three things. It is meant to steal from you. It is meant to kill you. And it is meant to destroy you. There is nothing else. So deception is the characteristic of a thief. So he's using one of his weapons to trap people. You have to accept this definition of Jesus Christ and be careful about your life, because there is one out there, according to this scripture here. Satan is out there for one purpose, that you will not make it to what the Lord God has called you to do. You have an enemy, not people, but Satan. The book of Genesis chapter 4 and the verse is 3 to 7. You see, at the point of Genesis 4, Genesis 3 had already taken place. A time that Satan had deceived Adam and Eve and had committed sin. Sin had already entered into man. We're going to see two brothers. The first brothers on earth, Cain and his brother Abel. These are the children of Adam and Eve. The word says that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, the senior one, brought of the fruits of the ground and offering unto the Lord. It was an offering unto the Lord. And his junior brother, Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and offering and the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know, we shouldn't go too fast, because it is not about the offering that the Lord rejects. The word says that God had respect, first of all, unto Abel. So God had respect. God accepted the person of Abel, then his offering. It's not about the offering. It is about the relationship, the heart, the character, the personality of Abel. God accepts you first before your offering. God looks, he looks unto you first before your offering. God wants to see your character first before anything that you want to give him. What is it? He is the creator and the custodian of all. What is it that a man is bringing unto the Lord that God cannot afford? What is it that a man has that is not given? God wants to see our characters first. We have to be accepted before the Lord first. Then, our offerings unto him. Let us not make that mistake, thinking that God did not accept Cain's offering because of the type of offering. It is because of the character, the personality, that God rejects or accepts. If God rejects your personality, the Lord will reject every single thing that you will offer him. If your character is not acceptable before God, There is nothing that you will give to God that shall be acceptable unto him. Let's move on in verse 5 of Genesis 4. As we said it, he said, but unto Cain and to his offering, God had not respect, and Cain was very rough, and his countenance fell. You see, the man was very rough, and his countenance fell. He was grieved to see that God had not accepted his offering. So, there was an act in his heart. Something had happened, something had taken place right there in Cain's heart. And the Lord saw it. And verse 6, God said, Cain, why are thou rough? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. This is so wonderful. God saw what has been taking place in Cain's heart. He said, this is not a matter of your countenance falling. It is a matter of life and relationship and how you see me, how you relate to me. Why is it that you are rough now? Why are you angry? Let me tell you, amend your ways. So that was a warning from God. He said, if you were doing well, you would have been accepted too. If your relationship with me was well, you would have been accepted. But as now, right now, what has come to your heart is not very good. And I can tell you that you are heading towards the wrong direction, and there is a man called sin. He's lying at the door. Sin is waiting at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. So the moment that Cain's personality was not accepted, something took place within him. And there is a man called sin that came right at the corner, waiting to act. And the Lord said that this man called sin, his desire is to have you. For what? For three things. To steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Hallelujah. The man lied at the door. Do you think that that time Cain knows this? He didn't know that sin was just right there, waiting at the door to come in and take over. Sin, his desire is to have you. But you should, he said, and thou shalt rule over him. God said, and thou shalt rule over him. It was a warning. He said that sin is at the door. But let me tell you, don't give him room to take over you, to rule over you, to dominate you, to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. It was a word from God to Cain. We all know that Cain is going to kill the brother. Simply, the reason why he did it is because he did not listen to the instructions that God gave him, the warning that the Lord gave him. He didn't. So what happened? Sin entered in. And what is the result? A brother raised against a brother and start killing. A brother raised against a brother and start gossiping. A sister raised against a sister and start destroying. Destroying reputation, destroying dignity, destroying everything. Simply because the man of sin had come in. But the Lord is warning us constantly about how sin is waiting to come into our various situations. He killed a brother. You see, what the parents did, Adam and Eve, it was something that broke a fellowship. When Adam and Eve sinned, it broke a fellowship between us, between man and God. But God, in his mighty love towards us, did not leave man in his state of depravity. But God sent forth his only begotten Son to take that nature of sin, that seed of sin infused in us, away. You know, the first promise in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1 and the verses 21, there was a word that came to come and tell who Jesus is. He said that there is a virgin that shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus means Savior from our sins. We don't really, know how. We are not always given the right value of things, including our own lives. We have people that are moving around. They don't know how precious life is. They go having the nature of Satan and also killing. Some that are not killing are completely ignorant of their own lives and allowing satanic works to happen in their lives, and they are being destroyed and killed. But life is precious. Life is very precious. There is a scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. I want to show you how precious life is. There is a word, it's called atonement money. Atonement money. Atonement is anything that stands for you. All right? In the time of the Old Testament, it was always the blood of the bulls and the goats, the blood of the animals that were atoning for the sins of those people. In our case, it is the blood of Jesus Christ, but the blood of Jesus Christ is not the blood of atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of cleansing. And I made the explanation before. I said that there is a clear difference between atonement and what? And cleansing. When we atone, we cover. So we stand for. So the blood of those animals, it was just to cover their sins. The blood of Jesus Christ does not cover anybody's sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sins. Cleansing and covering. Cleansing is wiping away, blotting out. Every single thing is cleared. Your past, it is cleared. Your future, it is cleared. Do you know how your future sins are cleared? Let me tell you. Jesus Christ died 2014 years ago, as of today. By that time, you were not there. You were not born. So if you ask me if your future sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, obviously. Cleanse our future sins. So the blood was already offered before you were born. Every single sin that you commit is in the future. And it's already cleansed. Has been taken away. It is the breakthrough word that you have to hear. That there is no way that anyone should bring any form of condemnation upon your life. Why? Because Jesus Christ had already paid the price. Is it because your sins are cleansed that you will jump in and continue committing sin. Apostle Paul said, God forbid. It is not because grace is abound that we will continue sinning. It is completely the opposite. Now that you are not under the law, but you are under grace, sins have no dominion over you because you have what it takes to break any situation where sin is lying at the door. You have what it takes not to get into the situation where your countenance will be fallen like Cain, and rise and kill his brother. The atonement money, Exodus 30 and the verses 11 and 12. Let me read it for you. The Lord said unto Moses, Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them. In other words, Moses, when you count people, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Did you hear that? When you are counting them, each one that you count, they must pay God for their lives when you have counted them. Let me read it. When you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. When you are counted, it means that you are counted as a living. The dead are not counted. They serve no purpose for God. It is the living that counts for God. So when you count them, tell them that each one of them must pay a ransom for his life at the time he's counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. You see, that is one great thing about God. You tell me how many days. He said that we have, the years that we have, is the number of days that God gives us. The number of days. So if you have to pay God for every single day that you can count, because we are counting our days, that is why we celebrate our birthdays. We count them. If you're going to have to pay God for that, how much? Well, let me tell you, someone had already paid that price for you. God had already received the ransom money. And it is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the work of the cross. God is satisfied so that you are not counted to bring anything anymore before him. When the Lord sees you, the Lord wants to see how you are being transformed. How, you know, you seek to become more and more like Jesus Christ. This is what God is looking for. To tell you that grace is superior to the law. None of us is bringing anything to pay for the life that we are living. You see, but people do not have understanding and just jump into all kinds of situations where the enemy deceives them, where Satan comes around and steal from them what the Lord has given them because of carelessness of life, the lack of understanding of what life is all about. They move in to even exchange their glorious destiny with the counterfeit of the devil. This is what sin, the man of sin, can do. First Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 18, and I will read a portion of 19 also. The word says that, he said, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. As much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Amazing how God calls money corruptible. Money, what people value so much, cherish so much, God calls it corruptible. It is true. Use it, don't love it. You are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A lamb without blemish and without spot is because the man was without sin. There was no sin in him. But sin was placed on him. Our sins were placed in him. He was made a sinner so that you and I can have the character of Christ. For what? For Christ to go through temptations and feel it. If Jesus came here as an angel, he wouldn't have felt so many things because the abilities are different. But Jesus was a man. Sin was placed on him so that every single thing that he is going through, he knows how this body is, how it feels to live in the earth over here. And the man came and he lived. He went through every temptation that everyone and each one of us will be going through, but yet without sin. Yet without sin. Jesus Christ did not conquer sin. He didn't defeat sin only by the cross. Christ defeated sin also by his life, the way he lived. The man lived 33 years. 30 years of his life was outside ministry. He was like any ordinary man. Had a home, had a, you know, the mother is just there. The brothers and sisters, he worked. He was a carpenter. Just name it. He grown up as a little one, growing up in the area. Christ went through everything that everyone and each one of us could be going through. Yet the man conquered sin through the life that he lived. It is a clear indication that sin will not rule over you because now you are even on a higher level. Jesus Christ died and sent his Holy Spirit to help you come on the higher. Where you are, if you exercise your salvation tools, the man of sin is a weak man before you. Has no strength. He has no dominion. He cannot rule over you because you are not under the law. What redeemed you was not corruptible things, but it was the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Sometimes, you know, we are subject to so many things because we don't know what has been done for us. If you are a prince, it means your father is a king. When you move around, you don't move around as a servant. You move as a prince. So then, whose servant are you? If you cannot see your kinship and you see yourself as a slave, then whose servant are you? You know, there is a word here in Romans 6 and the verse is 16. The word of God says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? It is a form of question. But it's a very deep question. You know why? It is because it says that, number one, whomever you obey, you are a servant to that person. If you obey sin, you are a servant to sin. You are a slave to sin. If you obey righteousness, you are a servant of God. And you see how great when we say that, when we are called servants of God, it is honorable to be God's servant. But are you God's servant or Satan's servant? How do you know? You know this by whom you obey, because he says that it is whom you obey, that person is your master. So who is your master? If you obey sin, you let sin rule over you. It means that sin has complete dominion over you. Then your master is Satan. You can be in the church. You can be apostle. You can be whoever that. But if you are not able to follow Jesus Christ and live a life that's where sin is defeated, you serve Satan, not Jesus. It was a question. Everyone and each one of us, as we live, it's a life where we are living to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We are looking unto Jesus because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. But you see, it's a daily cross that we have to take. Every single man have to die every single day by that cross. You die to the gossip that you might hear. You are dying to the, you know, the case of Cain. Cain could not, because Cain did not have what you have today. As anyone that brings himself under an Old Testament believer, it is not good, because we have come to a higher level. The Lord has given us higher things. The Holy Spirit of God descended and now dwelling in us. Said the one that is in you is greater than the one that is outside. Anything that comes to you is from outside. So, you know, even this body that is subject and one of our enemies, also the flesh, you have to know that it is also from within. Why? Because a man is what? Is a spirit being. A man is a spirit being. How you see yourself, that is how much or whom you will be subjected to. Submit yourself according to the knowledge of yourself. A man of sin is a master, is what? Is a servant of his master, Satan. You become slave to sin if you sin and constantly not using the salvation tools to quickly come up so the Lord can stand for you. There is a very interesting, you know, story here, how those Jews came to Jesus Christ and made some statement. You know, John chapter 8 and the verses 31 to 34. Let me quickly read it. Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him. You see that they were believers. These are the ones that believe on Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Clearly. If ye continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You continue in the word, you will know the truth. So there is something about the word of God. The truth is in the word of God. You continue in the word of God, you will know the truth. And that truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Set you free from the deception of the enemy. That is the stealing. Set you free from the destruction of the enemy. That is the destroyer's aspect of Satan. Set you free from what? From the killings of the enemy, the murderer. The truth of God that is in his word. And the word of God is a spirit. And that spirit is the Holy Spirit. You know him, you will be free from any form of deception from Satan. That is why it is important for you to know your word and read your Bible. You can't go without it. We go to this war, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, Ephesians 6:12, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we fight against things that your eyes cannot see. It's a spiritual thing. And it is only the sword, which is the word of God. In that word, there is power. Why? Because there's a spirit. And that spirit is the Holy Spirit. You continue in my word, then you are my follower. You will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. When they heard this, those Jews that believe in Jesus Christ, when they heard this, they answered Jesus. He said, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? He said, we are of Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. We have never been subjected to any man. We are not slaves to nobody. So why are you saying that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free? Set us free from what? And Jesus answered in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committed sin is a slave of sin. Whosoever committed sin, your master is Satan. This is what Christ was talking about. They asked him, said, we are not slaves of anyone because we have never been purchased, subjected to nobody. Why are you saying, we're talking about freedom? We are Abraham's seed, we are free. The Lord said that you are not free. As far as you sin, you are not free. And matter of fact, it is clear because your master is the one that incites you to sin. The man of sin, Satan. You seek to kill me because you cannot know that I come from God. Jesus made a statement because of the work that has been done. You know, it was Apostle Paul made a statement because of the work that Jesus has done. In Romans 6:14, Jesus said, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, you are under grace. Grace, John 1:17, he said that, you know, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought us the ability to stand and rule over the man of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, you are under grace. This dispensation as we are living today, it is called the dispensation of what? Of grace. Which means that we have power to stand against anything that the enemy will throw on your way. You have power to stand against any trial that are coming from your brothers, your sisters, your workplace, just name it. Name it. Whichever way that Satan will come with his deception, you are not prompt to bite it. Why? Because you are under grace. You carry the power. The spirit of grace is the same Holy Spirit. The spirit in the word is the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that at salvation has been released in you and dwell in you. What is it that you need to stand against this man of sin? Spirit of God. Satan, we don't know. People don't know that this guy has only three purposes. Jesus mentioned it. He's a thief. He seeks to kill and to destroy. And every single man, every man. The book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. You know, when you read from the verse 10 downwards, you're going to see that The accuser, Satan is mentioned as the accuser of the brethren. And he's standing accusing the brethren day and night. The only way that we overcome him is what? Is the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is that word? It's not the testimony when we come and stand here. It is the testimony that now we are of Christ. That the Holy Spirit is in us. That the one that is in us is greater than anything else that is out there. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 22 and 23. Being made free from sin. Being made free from sin because of what Jesus Christ has done and become servants of God. You see that? If you are free from sin, you become servant of God. If you are not free from sin, you are a servant of Satan. We saw it already. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. Obviously, if you are a servant of God, your nature is holy. How do you know you are holy? It is when you are free from sin. How do you know you are free from sin? It is when you are a servant of God. How do you know you are a servant of God? When you are free from sin. And then he continues, the truth that you know will make you free. It is out of his commandment. If you follow my word and obey them, indeed you are my disciples. Out of the word, the sin is also conquered. And we have seen it all. Have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. You see that? Have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. So holiness leads to everlasting life. Everlasting life, you know, it's also defined in John 17 verse 3. He said that the everlasting life, the eternal life, is to know God the Father and to know Jesus Christ. So, when you live a life of holiness, you will come to a point to have eternal life. And that eternal life is to know God the Father and to know the Son, Jesus Christ. Where they are, that is where you will be too. And the verse 23 of Romans 6, he says, for the wages of sin is dead. He said, for the wages of sin, it is what? It is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love that. Let me take a moment and explain it. The wages of sin is death. Do you know what wages is? Wages are when you have worked and then they pay you your salary. That is your wages. So anyone that works for Satan, that is wages of sin. You work for Satan, Satan is going to pay you. How Satan is paying you? Death. You see that? Wages of sin is death. If you are a servant to sin, when he's paying you, after you have worked for him, he pays you with death. So powerful. For the wages of sin is death. The only thing that Satan can pay anyone with, even when you have worked so much for him, is death. He has no other means. For the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What else that Satan can give? Satan cannot give life because Jesus Christ, I cometh, the Lord said, I cometh that I may give life, eternal life, and a life in abundance. That is the distinction between the two people that we are dealing with. You are of the light, you dwell in the light, and you remain in the light. You are of darkness, you hear in the word that breaks darkness. Be out and come to the light that you may have life. You know, Jesus is mentioned here as the gift of God. He said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is indeed Jesus is the gift of life. A gift is what is given. A gift is what is given to live. So Jesus being the gift of life, it means that Jesus is given to be, to have life. Now the choice is yours. If I have a gift for you, it is only a gift when you take it. If I have something for you, I say it is free. It is only a gift when you have accepted it. You see why? The reason why people still remain in darkness. Because they have not accepted the gift of God, which is Jesus. The faith is your way of accepting Jesus. When you release faith and you accept Jesus Christ, that is, now Christ is a gift and now you have a life. Why? Because you have accepted him. But as far as we preach Jesus Christ and people continue rejecting Jesus Christ cannot be the gift of life for them. But you who have accepted Christ, Christ indeed is a gift of life. If I give you a check, I sign the check, millions of dollars. I sign it and give it to you. I said this is a gift to you. It will only be a gift to you when you take the check. And even when you have taken it, it is still not a gift. Why? Because you have to cash it. How do you cash it? By turning the back of the check and signing it with your signature. That is your faith. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then salvation tools are available unto you. The gift of God. You know, the Lord said it. He said that sin shall not rule over you. That is Romans 6:14 that we were reading. For ye are not under the law, you are under grace. That scripture, when I read it, I can see the contention and the battle. Sin shall not rule over you. It means that the man of sin is seeking to rule over you. But Jesus said that you have what it takes to not allow sin to rule over you. So I see the battle, the contention just right there. Is the Lord saying that we might not sin? Absolutely not. In the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord knows that someone might fall. So he said this. In 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 9, Jesus, there is a statement that is made towards the kingdom of God. Apostle John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is not like provisions has not been made when we fall. It is not like provisions has not been made when we fall. Every child of God, every sin that you commit can be forgiven. The only sin that is not forgiven, the only sin that a man commits that is not forgiven is the sin that is not confessed. But every single sin that we commit and we confess, God is faithful. And the blood of Jesus comes in right away and cleanses. No condemnation. Satan has nothing to accuse you of because of the work of the blood. This is the reason why when we see satanic works against our lives, we look at them and say that you don't know what you are dealing with. I know that Jesus Christ, who died for me, had also given me the power to tread upon the serpent and the scorpions. And all works of darkness has no power over me. You will not rule over me. Your deeds of darkness will not rule over me. Because I know who I am. I know what Jesus has done. I know the power of the blood. Sin shall not rule over you. I will not be a slave to any sin. The reason why, you know, if you said you know Jesus and you allow yourself for a witch to kill you, for I don't know whatever powers of darkness to kill you, let me tell you, Jesus will ask you when you get there, why are you here? He said, oh, my auntie was a witch and she had killed me, that is why I'm here. If I was Christ, I would take some, I said, lay on the table, let me give you some whips before I judge your case. Because everything is given. Every single thing is given. Witchcraft has no power over you if you stand in that blood. Whatever that is of darkness has no power over you because it is all the nature of sin. And God has given you that power to rule over anything that is of darkness. Why is that? Because Satan is conquered. Jesus had already defeated him. The killing that we're talking about here, Satan has no power. The key of death is in the hand of Jesus Christ. Talking about the reality to destroy the soul. The Lord said that Satan does not have that power to destroy you. When a man dies, that's it. That is all the worst thing that Satan can do to anyone. And that is what he does. The destroying aspect, the destroying nature of Satan is not destroying you in hell. It is because, but at the end of the day, it comes to the same thing, because if you are a servant to sin, you die. It's God's law, not Satan's law. The Lord can use anything. I told you before that God is in charge of everything, including Satan's schedule. So why are you afraid of him? We give you glory, Lord. You know, so confessing our sins is very important. You know you fell, quickly come and confess your sins. Quickly. Do not entertain sin in your life. Because it is that man that is seeking one purpose, destroy you. Destroy the glorious future that God has for you. Destroy the glorious destiny that God has for you. This is how serious sin is. You know, I love, there is a story, we were talking about it, in Luke 15 and the verses 17 to 19. There is a story about the prodigal son. You remember this story? This son that came, there were two children of a wealthy man. The younger one came to the father. He said, Father, I know one day you will die. And I do know that when you die, you will also have a will for me. You will leave me. And I know you are a rich man. I don't want you to die before I enjoy. Please, give my portion of the enjoyment. Give my portion of my inheritance. And I will just move in and enjoy my life. Don't worry. Maybe if you die, I might not come. The father said, okay, that's fine with me. And gave him his portion. The man was wealthy man. So the son, the younger one that asked for his inheritance, took off with the money. Don't think that it was rikiki money because he was a wealthy man. He took off, went, and started, you know, living grand style, prostitution type of life, harlot, all that he was dreaming. You know, this wealthy man have many servants in his house. So the boy was pumped. The boy was protected. The boy was not, you know. So when he got out there, he said, ha, now I am free. I am free. Let me explore life. Let me live. He didn't know what life is all about. Spending the money. Living carelessly. And the time came that the money is gone. He said, okay, if the money is gone, that's fine. I will start working. He found a job in a pig farm. Food was very scarce because famine came in. And the man who has the farm, the food that he has is for his business. Feeding the pigs, they grow and I sell them. This young man who was working at the farm, now competing with the pigs' food. A time came in his life, he said, no way. No way. I know I messed up. Let me read the scriptures. Luke 15, 17 to 19. So this young man, when he came to himself, after he has messed up with the money, when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread? How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I, the son of my father, I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven. I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired servants. Hey. I will go back. You know, what I love is when he came to himself. Hallelujah. You know, sin blinded people. But the power of grace, the power. You have to come to a point that you come to yourself. Why is it that you are being acquainted with this negativity situation that you are in? You see, God loves his people. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. He wants to see people that are honest. You come to a point and you said that enough is enough. Enough is enough. This man said, I cannot continue eating pig's food. In my father's house, the many servants are just right there. Even those servants, they have more than they need. And they just spare the food like that. I will go back. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if you have come to a point to know that because of sin, you are in situation of deprivacy, you are in situation of distress, please, I pray, but may the light of the living God open your eyes. Come back to yourself and return back to the blood. Blood will cleanse you. I will go back to my father and tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. Please don't take me as your son. Let me be one of your servants in this house. And that is exactly what he did. He went to the father and he told the father, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this is my son. Said this, my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. Let us marry. Hallelujah. Sin kills. That is why he said, my son was dead, but he's alive again. Sin kills, but the blood of Jesus gives life. He was dead, but he's alive again. Why? Because the moment that a man comes to confess your sin, every spirit of death upon you is broken just right there. Amen. You remember the story of those two malefactors that were being crucified with Jesus Christ. One said, Jesus, if you are the son of God, save yourself and then save us. The other man was saying, I'm not even worthy to say such a thing. Jesus, I know you have not done anything that merits that you should be on this cross. I'm receiving the just punishment. But I say one thing, remember me when you come to thy kingdom. Jesus said that my kingdom is like thousands of years ahead. Don't worry. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. May the Lord give us grace not to cover ourselves with the shame of the sinful nature. May the Lord give us that grace to come back to ourselves and tell Satan that, Satan, whatever report that you have of my life, after Satan has mentioned, he has made a list of all the negativity and all the things that you have done in your past, please, you have only one thing to tell him. Tell him that Jesus Christ died for you. And all those sins, Christ has paid the price. None of them is over you anymore. You are of the Lord. That is our testimony unto him. The truth that you know will make you free. And whomsoever that the Son set free, he is free indeed. Jesus Christ has set us free from any life of unrighteousness. We are children of God, servants of Most High God. Unto him alone be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.